week on Vaticano. 1 year after the election of Pope Leo, we look back at the defining moments of his first year as pontiff. From reflections by those who know him personally, to his strongest appeals for peace, we revisit the journey that began in St. Peter's Square. We sit down with Cardinal Riche about the conclave that elected Pope Leo and explore how the Pope's worldwide prayer network continues to inspire the faithful around the world. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. It was an announcement that took the world by surprise and filled many with great joy.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus papam.
For those who knew Cardinal Robert Prevost well, the election of a new pope on May the 8th, 2025, became a moment they will never forget.
My heart practically burst out of my chest. It didn't just beat for me, but for all of us. Because it's obvious, Robert, then Prevost, and so, well, we wanted to jump out of the window from that overwhelming joy.
I prayed that God may give him much energy and strength for the expectations of the people of God.
With thousands of people gathered in St. Peter's Square, the new pontiff of the Catholic Church stepped out onto the loggia of St. Peter's Basilica to greet the world.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
But when I heard his name read in Latin, I did recognize who it was, and I was stunned. It was like a twofold lightning bolt because I couldn't quite believe a first American had been made the Pope. No one expected that, really. And also that he was a graduate of the Angelicum.
Father Robert Prevost became the first ever U.S.-born pope and the first Augustinian to be elected pontiff. Among more than 30 popes previously chosen from religious orders throughout the church's history, a religious identity he didn't hesitate to proudly proclaim.
Sono un figlio di Sant'Agostino.
I am a son of St. Augustine, an Augustinian, who said, "With you I am Christian. And for you, I am a bishop."
Con voi sono cristiano e per voi vescovo.
Quando un religioso diventa pontefice avviene qualcosa.
When a religious becomes a pontiff, something unusual happens, because religious are not in themselves part of the church's hierarchy. The documents say they belong to the holiness of the church. Through their way of life, they express what is the most important characteristic of the Christian church. It is a striving towards love, free, selfless love.
Che è un'attenzione all'amore, all'amore libero, gratuito.
Pope Leo brings to the church not only his many years of experience as a missionary in Peru, as prior general of the Augustinians, and as a former member of the Roman Curia, where he was the prefect of the dicastery for bishops. Alongside this experience, he also brings his great sensitivity and a spirit of deep faith, shaped by the genius of St. Augustine, as well as an extraordinary relationship with the Lord and those around him.
He was a very kind man, very gentle but firm, a good listener. The first time that I encountered him was the time that I was newly ordained, and he's the one who posted me to a parish in a remote part of Kenya called Isho. Now it's no longer a remote place, but it's now almost like a city. And so even when he pays visit to this community, he still remembers us by name.
Among the many tasks Pope Leo had to take up from the beginning of his pontificate was continuing the Jubilee of Hope, opened by Pope Francis, embracing numerous events with a new enthusiasm and energy that have marked this new chapter in the history of the church.
Jesus tells us, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world."
One of the most significant moments of his first 8 months was the Jubilee of Youth, which gathered an extraordinary number of 1 million young people from nearly 150 countries to Tor Vergata, outside of Rome, for a weekend of prayer, praise, and encounter. Many have been joyful to see Pope Leo embrace tradition and revive earlier papal customs, like the nearly 1-mile-long procession from St. John Lateran to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, and by returning to Castel Gandolfo, the papal residence outside Rome during the summer. Following the closing of the Jubilee on January the 6th, Pope Leo continued his ministry with a vigorous schedule of ceremonies and audiences, and also of many trips. Turkey became his first stop. There he set foot in ancient Nicaea to commemorate the 1,700th anniversary of the First Ecumenical Council and the formulation of the Nicene Creed. During the same journey, the Pope traveled on to Lebanon, where he immersed himself in the crowds of faithful in a country marked by fratricidal wars and ongoing conflicts, and where young people are in great need of spiritual consolation and peace. His second apostolic trip brought him, for just one day, to the second smallest country in the world, the last Catholic stronghold in Europe, where Catholicism is still the state religion, the Principality of Monaco. Then he made his longest trip to date, visiting 4 countries in Africa over 11 days. It was a visit long desired by his predecessor.
Popes go where there is a need for God. In some way, Leo XIV inherited trips that had already been planned for some time, such as the one to Lebanon, but also a journey to Africa that Pope Francis had even considered for the Jubilee, even though he was already quite ill.
E si continua su questa direzione.
Cameroon, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea, from the heart of St. Augustine's homeland in ancient Hippo to the heart of Africa, Pope Leo didn't hesitate in every corner of the African continent to issue an unceasing appeal to build together a peaceful future.
In this place, let us remember that God desires peace for every nation.
Since the beginning, all his journeys, encounters, and addresses have reflected what may be the most important word of his pontificate so far: peace. In a few moments, we'll look back at how peace has shaped the Holy Father's first year and mission. The pursuit of peace has always been central to the Church's mission. From the day of his election, Pope Leo made it clear that it would also stand at the heart of his pontificate.
A tutte le persone,
to all people, wherever they may be, to all nations, to the whole earth, peace be with you.
La pace sia con voi.
For the many faithful listening to his first words, the message seemed to come at the right moment for the world.
Ecco, questa pace sia con voi.
That phrase, peace be with you, has become something of the leitmotif of this journey, of these visits. He is a pope who wants to bring not only the message of peace, but also the path that the Church offers for making peace a reality, at an extraordinarily difficult moment, because we are living through a time of profound crisis. Peace seems almost impossible to recover.
La pace sembra impossibile da ritrovare.
At the Lateran University, the only pontifical university to offer a specialized program in peace sciences, the Church's commitment to peace has taken concrete academic form. Established by Pope Francis in 2018 through his letter, The Desire for Peace, the program reflects the Holy See's long-standing mission to help build a more just and peaceful world.
La Chiesa ha un grande compito.
The Church has a great mission, and at the same time, a great challenge. Because in today's world, the Holy Father is the only one who not only carries the message of peace, but does so on the basis of a social doctrine, the social doctrine of the Catholic Church, rooted in the principle of subsidiarity. And through the relationships the Holy See maintains with all different nations, even in the most delicate, fragile, in difficult contexts.
This mission and its challenges were something Pope Leo made clear from his very first meetings and audiences after his election that he fully embraced.
Perché questa pace si diffonda.
I will make every effort so that this peace may prevail. The Holy See is always ready to help bring enemies together, face to face, to talk to one another, so that peoples everywhere may once more find hope and recover the dignity they deserve, the dignity of peace.
Meritano la dignità della pace.
In total, the word peace appears more than 400 times in the addresses delivered by the Holy Father during the first year of his pontificate, including those made during his recent trips abroad to Turkey, Lebanon, and Africa, where a call for peace and justice quickly emerged as the defining theme of each visit.
I am here to proclaim peace.
The Pope also didn't hesitate to make it the central theme of his Easter message to the world.
Let those who have weapons lay them down. Let those who have the power to unleash wars choose peace.
Scelga la pace.
While meeting with world leaders, including U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance, Israeli President Isaac Herzog, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, to encourage ceasefires and an end to war, the Pope has repeatedly emphasized that peace is not merely the absence of war, but something that must be actively and concretely built. In his message for the 59th World Day of Peace, Pope Leo outlined his vision for a, quote, unarmed and disarming peace.
From Pope Leo, we have, so to speak, identified a method for peace. On the one hand, the humanization of politics, an expression he himself uses, and on the other, what he calls a diplomacy of fraternity. When he said, from the very beginning of his pontificate, the famous phrase, a disarmed and disarming peace, he made us understand that there are two poles that must be placed around the theme of peace, cooperation on the one hand, and openness or availability on the other.
Rector of the Pontifical Urban University and scientific director of the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy, which trains so-called Vatican diplomats, Professor Vincenzo Bonomo, emphasized that the Church promotes peace not as a political project, but because peace is embedded in the very message of the gospel.
The Church is the bearer of a message that is foundational. On the one hand, through grace and the sacraments, it is directed toward the salvation of souls. On the other, it is rooted in a particular commandment, one not found in the Decalogue, when Christ says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all peoples." I believe this is precisely the idea of peace, the good news itself as peace.
Beyond urging the world to work for peace, Pope Leo continues to emphasize something equally important, that peace depends on each and every one of us.
We wish to tell the whole world that it is possible to build peace, a new peace, that is possible to live together with all peoples of every religion and every race, that we wish to be disciples of Jesus Christ, united as brothers and sisters, all united in a world of peace.
Uniti come fratelli e sorelle, uniti tutti in un mondo di pace.
Polish Cardinal Gregor Szyrys, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Krakow, is among the youngest cardinals to have participated in the last conclave. In an exclusive interview with EWTN, conducted inside the Archbishop's Palace in Krakow, His Eminence reflects on why the election of the new Pope proceeded so quickly, whether Robert Prevost was considered a leading candidate from the outset, and what kind of superior he was before his election to the papacy. As a longtime member of the Dicastery for Bishops, Cardinal Risch offers insights that few others can provide.
Księże kardynale, mija rok.
Your Eminence, it's been a year since the conclave in which you participated for the first time. Why was the conclave so fast, so swift? Why did you decide so quickly?
Dlaczego tak szybko zdecydowaliście?
To chyba nie jest pytanie do mnie, tylko trzeba pytać Ducha Świętego.
I suppose that's not a question for me. You'd have to ask the Holy Spirit. Well, these questions aren't simple because in the end, it's not entirely clear what is and isn't covered by secrecy. But I think I can say this much. Nothing indicated it would go that way. And certainly not what we call the pre-conclave. It was a time of rather firm discussions among the cardinals. Not an easy time, with various opinions being expressed. I wouldn't say extreme, but certainly strongly contrasting. And the fact that the conclave itself went so quickly, many of us, not just me, understood it in this way, that the Holy Spirit showed his hand, that something happened which we didn't expect ourselves, that we would reach such unity in voting so quickly.
W tym sensie, że dojdziemy do takiej spójności w głosowaniu tak szybko.
Myślę, że niewiele osób wie, zdaje sobie sprawę, że właśnie...
I think few people realize that one of the key moments is the pre-conclave, the general congregations of cardinals. They are essential, and in this last conclave, perhaps even more important than before, because the College of Cardinals was extremely diverse. 133 cardinals from over 70 countries, a real Tower of Babel. So how do you reach an agreement?
Waszych rozmów i posiedzeń były zasadnicze.
Poznanie się wzajemne jest rzeczywiście jednym z celów.
Getting to know one another is indeed one of the goals of the pre-conclave, because with that many cardinals, it's obvious that we don't know each other, or only to a very limited extent. But the main goal is actually a bit different. Cardinals are aware that among them sits the future pope. Some even said so, beginning their speeches with Holy Father. At that point, everyone would look around, slightly confused, but then came the explanation. We all know that Peter is here. We just don't know yet who he is. And so it would be good if that Peter, who will be revealed after the election, already knows about the problems of the Church, problems that are different in the Vatican, where Cardinal Prevost was one of the most important officials, or in Latin America, where he was a bishop. But there are also other regions, Australia, Oceania, Asia. He probably knows Europe somewhat from traveling as the head of the Augustinians. But no one knows the whole reality of the Church. There are no such people. So the pre-conclave exists mainly for this purpose.
Więc to prekonklawe jest głównie po to.
Jaki był jako prefekt?
What was Cardinal Prevost like as prefect in those moments when you had direct contact? What was he like as a person?
Pracowaliśmy razem 3 lata. Ja zostałem mianowany.
We worked together for 3 years. I was appointed to the dicastery under his predecessor. So it was a very beautiful experience, starting from the very first meeting he attended, but did not yet lead, because it was still led by Cardinal Ouellet. It was a non-procedural meeting devoted to a fundamental reflection on the office of the bishop and on the ways bishops are appointed, what might require some change or at least some adjustment. It was an important session. Later, he proved to be a man of extraordinary diligence, with a great ability to listen. But it also works this way procedurally. The prefect is usually the one who speaks last at plenary meetings. So he had the opportunity to listen attentively to everyone at the table.
Ma czas posłuchać z uwagą wszystkich, którzy są wtedy przy stole.
Did you also have direct contact with him?
To jest grono dlatego dalece międzynarodowe i między...
It is a highly international and intercontinental group. It's important that when dealing with matters that have a local character, there is someone you can approach as a starting point. For example, if someone comes from Central and Eastern Europe, it doesn't mean they know all the local churches, but at least it gives you a place to begin the conversation. In such concrete situations, it's important that the prefect knows whom to turn to.
Wie, do kogo się zwrócić, tak?
This is the first pope whose phone number you have at hand, Your Eminence. That's what I've heard.
Oczywiście bardzo rzadko z niej korzystam.
Of course, I use it very rarely. As they say in the Highlander dialect, only when it's absolutely necessary. And when it's necessary, then you have to call. Call, not write.
Zadzwonić, nie, napisać.
And he answers?
Sometimes immediately, sometimes after 2 days, but he always answers.
W
We'll be back after a short break to explore the origins and work of the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network. For more than 150 years, popes have entrusted the Church with a special mission of intercessory prayer, introducing the pious practice of the monthly prayer intention. In 1879, Pope Leo XIII entrusted these intentions to the Apostleship of Prayer Association, now known as the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network.
This monthly prayer intention is a particular challenge facing humanity and the Church's mission, around which many millions of hearts can unite to learn about this challenge, present it to the Lord, ask for His grace, and also be transformed in that process.
Jesuit missionary Father Cristobal Fones, who has led the international network since 2025, launched Pope Leo's new Pray with the Pope campaign in January this year. Continuing in the tradition of Pope Francis, who recorded the first video of the monthly intentions in 2016, Pope Leo wanted to lead people in prayer before God.
Es muy interesante pensar el nuevo paso que nos está invitando a hacer el Papa León XIV.
It's very interesting to reflect on the new step Pope Leo XIV is inviting us to take, because even though we've been praying for the intentions entrusted to us by the Pope for nearly two centuries, this time, thanks to technology, we're being invited to pray with him almost as if we were right there with him. And what he is doing is praying in his own chapel, in a very conversational and intimate way with the Lord, and inviting us to join him in that prayer.
E invitándonos a acompañarlo en esa oración.
Laura Silva from Colombia, who had been following Father Cristobal's music ministry, decided to find out more about the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network online after hearing about his new Vatican appointment. For Laura, the rosary has always been a special prayer in her family and the small town where she grew up.
Ever since I was a child, I'd heard my mom say that we should pray for the Pope's intentions at the end of the rosary. And many times I thought, well, what could his intention be? But I didn't know there was something formal and structured behind it.
Now, when she connects with her extended family on WhatsApp to pray their daily rosary, she encourages everyone to pray for the Pope's monthly intentions.
Every day, at a set time, we get together to pray. And then I started to kind of lead other intentions as well, not just strictly family ones. And there, in the Pope's Prayer Network, I took the opportunity to include. Now I include it every month, and several times a month I mention it, let's say, as an intention for the rosary for that prayer, because I think it's also a way to evangelize and make others aware of it. In the Click to Pray app, the Pope also shares some additional prayer intentions for which he prays. So I take advantage of that because, even though sometimes there are situations that are very far away, they give you a sense of how people are living in other countries.
This month, Pope Leo has asked the world's 1.4 billion Catholics to pray that everyone might have food. According to Caritas Internationalis Senior Advocacy Officer Musamba Mubunga Matonga, the Pope's prayer intention for the month of May elevates the issue of food security from being a technical or political issue to being a moral and social priority.
From the Caritas side, having the Pope make this call, it's something that encourages us to really become a truly, like a global community. And his call to the Catholics being aware is beyond awareness itself, but it's also a concrete call to action. So it'd be reducing food wastage at personal level, supporting the local farmers that are heavily affected, advocating for just policies that really respond to food insecurity in a holistic and sustainable way, or just standing in solidarity with the people that are affected.
Highlighting the spiritual significance of the Pope's intentions, Father Cristobal explained that when one draws closer to the heart of Christ, one's own heart opens and expands to think of others and their needs.
poder de la oración es enorme. El Papa ha insistido mucho en eso. Y las grandes
transformaciones. The power of prayer is immense. The Pope has emphasized this greatly. And the profound transformations our world needs today, particularly for peace, will not come about solely through political and diplomatic strategies. They require the conversion of our hearts, and that only happens when we open ourselves in prayer to the actions of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I invite all of you to become part of this mission by joining the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network and learning each month what these prayer intentions are that he entrusts to us.
May no one be excluded from the common table, and may your Spirit teach us to see bread not as an object of consumption, but as a sign of communion and care.